And thank you so much for coming. I recognize a lot of you. It's nice to be here in this gathering of devotees. Thank you. Thank you, yes. We're actually here in the presence of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and the greatest devotee of the modern age in the whole world, a very unique personality. And if some of you are not familiar with what we just did, that's called Abhishek, or a ceremonial bathing ceremony in which the deity form of the personality who is being welcomed here to this household is bathed in all sorts of auspicious substances. So that we've done now. That very beautiful bathing ceremony was very nice. And now Prabhupada is being cleaned and he'll be bathed. Then he'll be offered food. I think he'll be offered what everyone is going to be offered later in terms of a feast, but he's being offered before anyone else. So later we'll be taking the prasadam, or the blessed remnants of what Prabhupada ate later on at the end of the program. And the basic idea behind the whole program is that Srila Prabhupada, the founder, acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is being welcomed into the family, you could say, like a family member. And then he'll be worshipped on their altar on a daily basis. And through the family doing this, taking this responsibility and carrying it out in a devotional spirit, then the family will get great mercy from the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, who's always very happy when his devotees are appreciated and served. So by the family serving Srila Prabhupada in his deity form, the family will get a lot of mercy and a lot of blessings. And in this way, this is very exemplary, setting a very nice example for other family people. They can also sanctify their lives and develop themselves spiritually as devotees by engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness, and in this case, in the process of deity worship, in an authorized, bona fide, authoritative way. So let us read a verse here from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a verse which is talking about the value of deity worship for a family, for deity worship within the house of a family. It is now Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, pure devotional service, the change in heart. And we are going to read, it's really a very classic verse on the subject, verse 22. But first of all, could you please repeat after me? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yes, so Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.22. Barhayate te nayane naranam. Well, look, I've got enough. Why don't you give to some... Why don't you give to one of the seniors? Is Mother Malika there?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is she?
She's got a golden ring.
Oh, well, find another one. or, yeah, you know, someone. I've got enough. Some nice devotee. Oh, look, Chandrakanta Prabhu. Go on. Oh, he's got one too. Radha Gopi now. Oh, well, anyway, you sort it out. Right, so again, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.22. So if you want, you can look it up afterwards and see how it applies to you. Barhayate te nayane naranam lingani vishnur na nirikshato ye padon rinam to druma janma bhajo shetrani nanu vrajato hariyo. Translation: the eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his form's name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Let us read the purport or part of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. I think a little more water would be in order. Thank you. Right, so Srila Prabhupada's purport. Especially for the household of devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sita Ram especially, or any other form of the Lord, like Nrisinga, Varaha, Gornitai, Matsya, Kurama, Shalagram, Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar. Shishirada Damodar Ki.
Yeah.
As recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly, following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Anyone here over 12 years of age? Anyway, means you should all be initiated post haste. Anyway, not post haste, but in due course, you should come to the point where you're qualified for being initiated. Because when you're initiated, then you can do these wonderful spiritual things. and just get so much benefit. It's just so relishable and nice. So, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning, 4 a.m. Did you hear that, family members? Till night, 10 p.m. Did you hear that also? You heard that? You heard both, yeah? Okay. Not 4 p.m. 4 a.m. That's right. Well done. By performing Mangalarti, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringara, Bhoga Vaikali, Sandhya Arti, Patta, Bhoga at night, Shayan Arti, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Shringara Tan Mandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktams Chani Yunjatopi Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Sri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable, worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringara, proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. That's the first paragraph. I'll just carry on a little further, because actually that theme goes a little into the next paragraph. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions. Have you heard of Bollywood? And fasten your seatbelts. And rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple, where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuses the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. There is more, but Prabhupada changes the subject. So let us just focus here on what we're doing here, this easy installation or installation welcoming like that. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastya Tyade Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapa Charubhyas Chakripa, Sindhubhya Evacha, Padidana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes. This is very nice, very relevant, and very important information which should be actioned, should be put into effect. Deity worship is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. Of course, right here, we're in what, Unit 6, are we? What do they call it now? Arena Park. Arena Park. I just call it Unit 6. I'm from the old school. Anyway, the thing here, the good news here is the Radharadnath temple is just literally around the corner and a couple of hundred meters. It's really very close. So, you know, in one sense, there's not really, when you're living so close to a temple where there's full deity worship going on, just on a highly developed level, like a world-class level, then it's good for the family members to be involved in that as much as possible. But anyway, Prabhupada here, of course, he's recommending home deity worship for householders. It's very valuable because in household life, particularly where they're children, particularly when they're smaller children, but in general in household life, there's a tendency to become, I mean, not that it's there in all cases, but there is, you know, it's not infrequent that there's a tendency to get involved and be very concerned about bodily, physical considerations and needs and all that sort of thing. In this way, one's tendency as a conditioned soul to identify with the body becomes reinforced, that the father is the father, and he's got to really perform his duties as the father and traditionally the head of the family, and this can easily obscure the point, the very important fact, which is the first fact that Krishna brings out in Bhagavad Gita, that we are not these bodies. We're actually not these bodies. We're eternal spiritual persons with eternal relationships with the Lord. And of course, particularly when children are small, it's very hard to convey to them clearly enough for them to get clear realization that they're not their bodies. This, you know, it's easier understood as a person gets a little older. So anyway, this is there in household life, the tendency to identify with the body and the bodies of the family members and get caught up in the bodily needs and wants. And in this way, get distracted to some degree from the reality of our eternal spiritual natures and the fact that our business in life is not just to make sure that our bodies and the bodies of those connected with us are living comfortably and securely and that sort of thing, but that the goal of life, our business in life, is to reawaken our forgotten relationship with Lord Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya says, Jivera Swarup Hoya Krishna Nitya Das, the constitutional nature of the soul, or you could say of the person, is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. And any other idea that I'm a this or a that, a man or a woman, big or small, old, young, etc., etc., these are all actually just parts of the illusion of material existence. So because household life has that sort of, that tendency towards focusing on the bodily level, it's quite an easy sort of a trap to fall into. Therefore, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. Because when one is worshipping the deity, particularly if one is seriously worshipping the deity, as Prabhupada pointed out, every day, not just on Sundays or, you know, one day a week, or even worse, just on Ekadasis, and the rest of the time, the best we can do is offer our food and to the deity, and then maybe offer an arti once a day. This is not really what is meant or intended by deity worship for householders. It's really meant to be a dynamic daily program. And you saw, we read that. Prabhupada said from 4 a.m. till 10 p.m. This is basically the program which is followed in like a formal temple, as we have down the road. And with all sorts of activities going on, Prabhupada said, Mangal Arati and Puja Kirtan Pata means speaking something from scripture, and all these different things. And all the members of the family should be engaged as much as possible. And by focusing on the deity of the Lord, means the body of the Lord, then one's tendency to misidentify with our material bodies, with I am a man, you are a woman, and all these the designations which then develop on that basis, all those can be purified away, and then one can see oneself and the family members, and they can see themselves as being eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and eternal servants of Krishna. This is the idea. In deity worship, one handles the body of the Lord. You know, in family life, there's a tendency, you know, at least, you know, if little children are there particularly, to handle the bodies of the little children. And maybe husband and wife to some degree. But when there's deity worship at home, Or when the family members are engaged in deity worship, as for example in our temple nearby, then focusing our vision on the deity, the body of the Lord, and then engaging in different programs like offering our tea, offering food, dressing the deity, all these activities in which we're focused on the form of the Lord, and even there are certain aspects, the more intimate aspects of massaging the body of the Lord, massaging the body of the Lord with fragrant oils instead of one's own body, decorating the body of the Lord very nicely, and not just decorating one's own body. So like this, focusing through the process of deity worship at home, focusing on the body of the Lord in these ways, and handling the body of the Lord and caring for the body of the Lord, these help purify the members of the household from these just material bodily attractions and attachments like that. And so on one hand, it's cleansing away a negative consciousness, bodily identification. On the other hand, by caring for the Lord, making sure the Lord is comfortable, being nicely looked after, being nicely fed, and being kept very clean, and all these types of things in regulated ways, one develops one's personal relationship with the Lord. Just as one, particularly for a dependent child, a small child who cannot even dress himself or herself, cannot really feed themselves or protect themselves if some danger is there. So the Lord presents himself in the deity form in a way in which, at least apparently, he is dependent in those ways. If you don't dress him, he'll be in the same clothes for as long as until you dress him. If you don't feed him, he'll just go hungry until you feed him. All these things. If you don't bathe him and wash him and clean him nicely, he'll just, for days he may stand there and just, and we all know it's not nice if the body is not kept clean. So like this, on the one hand, freeing us from the propensities for bodily identification, attachment, and like that. On the other hand, helping us develop a personal relationship with the Lord. So both things are there, negative and positive. So of course some people think that the deity form of the Lord is, or in this case of course it's Srila Prabhupada, the great Acharya and great, great pure devotee of the Lord, representative of the Lord. Some people think the deity form is just a statue, like there are statues here and there, in the museums maybe. There are different statues in public places in some cases. There are pictures of some national heroes, etc., prominent citizens. So you get these statues, you get paintings, of course, all sorts of paintings of different people. The Mona Lisa. Who was she? Well, we'll never know. Because she passed away an awfully long time ago. Some mysterious woman. So these things, like the Mona Lisa, what a famous painting. You must have all seen that, I'm sure you must have. You know what I'm talking about. If you speak to that painting, if you address that woman, and maybe ask her, is your name really Mona? What is your name? And where are you from? And if you try to get into a little conversation, you'll get no response. Because it's just an artificial representation. Very cleverly done. Who can make a painting like that? I don't think any of us at all. But so very cleverly done. It may even look identical to the actual person. But the problem is, because this is not a spiritual person, this is not a picture of some form of the Supreme Lord, neither is it a picture of some very great devotee, pure devotee of the Lord. So the person who is pictured is not present in the picture. Whereas, even here, see, we have some pictures on the altar and we have the deity of Prabhupada being cleaned right now. They are present. They're present. And if you speak to them, they will hear you. They may reply. Of course, to hear the reply means you have to be also on a very high level. But we also have experience. Even though we're not on that level where we can converse back and forth with the deity or pictures of the Lord or the great devotees, but if we pray to the deities, I think many of you have had the experience of praying to the deity and later finding that, oh, it came to be. I appealed to the Lord for something, and it came to be. The Lord reciprocates with his devotees. So this is a very important point. It's not just like a representation, like a photo of someone. It's just an artificial chemical, some chemical process, artificial representation. The person is not present. But here the persons are present. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his deity forms, even in his picture forms, he is present. So when we are interacting, when we're rendering service, he is accepting. It is a personal interaction, a personal exchange. Sometimes it sounds a little sort of, I don't know, maybe facetious or at least a little amusing. Sometimes, to illustrate this point, we give an example. The example is that in the morning, some gentleman he's just about to leave for work, and so he tells his wife, or he and his wife discuss, what shall we eat for supper tonight? And they make some decision or whatever it may be. Let us have biryani and grated carrot salad and dal, and grated carrot salad must have lemon juice. Right? Anyway, something like that. That's what we'll have. All right, it's agreed. And husband goes to work, and of course, in his office, as a dutiful husband and a caring husband, of course, in his office, on his desk, what does he have? A photo of his wife. Am I right? Anyway, okay. You don't need to answer that. But some do. So anyway, this gentleman does. But during the course of the day, he thinks biryani, dal, and carrots, grated carrot salad with lemon juice. How many times have I had that? Let me have something different. So what shall we have tonight? What would I like? Oh, I know. Let us have deep-fried cauliflower in sour cream with puris. Does that sound like more fun? So something like that. So he looks at the picture, maybe picks the picture up and speaks to the picture of his life. You know, instead of the biryani, etc., let's have deep fried cauliflower and sour cream with puris. All right. All right. Okay, puts the picture back. Later he goes home and tell me, guess, take a wild guess. What does he get? Yeah. He gets biryani and dal and so on. And he may say to his wife, but wait a minute. What happened? I spoke to you in the middle of the day. Didn't you hear me properly? What? What are you talking about? You follow. It's obviously a very simple point. That she is not present. Because it's just a different level of existence. It's just a different level of existence altogether from the divine level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and including his very great devotees, like in this case this evening, Srila Prabhupada. You speak, they hear. You render service, they accept. You pray, and it may come to be also. Yes. So, and actually there are many histories in which different deities acted. Oh, we were at Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's place the other day. What was it? Anyway, the other day, Friday. And we read about Madhavendra Puri, very great devotee from maybe like 600 years ago, something like that. And how, it's a very long story, but he was traveling to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan, and he visited on the way one temple, the temple of Gopinath, right? Of Gopinath in Remuna. And he was appreciating so much their standards of worship of the deity there. And he discussed with the head pujari what do they do and their different processes and so on. And the pujari told him, you know, we have a specialty here. Every night we offer 12 pots of special, special sweet rice. Very special, not your ordinary. But some, you know, with special spicing and so on like that. And Madhavendra Puri, he thought, oh, I should learn how to prepare that food preparation. So I can offer that to my deity, Gopal, who was back in Vrindavan. So the priest explained the process to him. And anyway, like I said, it's a long story. He took it, actually. You know, he was so interested in getting all this information, including how to make this very exotic sweet rice. After a little while, he thought, wait a minute. Am I thinking of making the sweet rice for my deity? Or am I really just thinking how I'd like to eat the sweet rice and enjoy life? So he became a little sort of embarrassed. And so he left. He didn't wait to get some of that sweet rice after the offering in the evening. So he went to a place and took rest. But the deity, well, you know, they did the offering, they took away the pots, but the deity hid one of those pots behind himself. And when the temple was closed that evening, the pujari went to sleep, but he had a dream. The deity told him, I have stolen one of the pots of sweet rice for this devotee, Madhavendra Puri, who was here earlier today. Please take it, go to a particular place, and just call out, where is Madhavendra Puri? So that pujari, he went back on the altar, and sure enough, right behind the feet of the deity was this one of those pots of sweet rice. Somehow, by his mystical power, the deity had influenced the devotees not to notice that one of the pots was missing. There was only 11 and not 12. So anyway, he took the pot of sweet rice, went down to that place, announced, found Madhavendra Puri, who took the pot of sweet rice and understood this was the personal intervention of the deity. It's not just some unusual coincidence. It's actually the personal intervention of the Lord. Could someone just check how they're doing in terms of preparing? And just let us know. I mean, if they're ready already, maybe. Or give us an estimate. Right, so you see, this is an example that's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in fact, the story in a much more elaborate form in Chaitanya Charitamrita is personally spoken by Lord Chaitanya himself to Lord Nityananda, and there were a few other devotees there with them also. So, it's really it's such a wonderful example, of how the deity is a person, is alive, is not just a thing, or you know something like that. So therefore, in deity worship at home, anywhere, deity worship, we must treat the deity as a person. Okay. So, now, yes. Anyway, you're here. Any other family members here? Ah, there he is. Hare Krishna. Please remember these things. Take Prabhupada seriously as a person. And really try to consider, am I treating him, you know, at least how I'd like to be treated if I was sort of a guest or a family member? Yeah. The more personally we take the deity, the more we care for the deity will care for us. If you give care, you'll receive care. If you give mercy, you'll receive mercy. Krishna consciousness is a very personal, reciprocal process of interaction. It's not just a ritualistic, formulaic process. So, Hare Krishna, you got it? Got me? Got it? And Ma, and them, oh yeah, and Rashmi, got it? Thank you. And any of you also, you know, you're all devotees, or the great majority at least. Consider these things. And of course, you know, we've got the deities, Radharatna. That's another level again. Not that we should, if you have deities at home, not that you should neglect them. Even if you just got pictures, you shouldn't neglect them. But when the temple is nearby, with the installed deities, you know, we're installing Prabhupada over like an hour or two at the most. Radharatnath and Lord Chaitanya were installed over 3 days, from morning to night. What a program, my gosh. Yeah. So they are really there. You know, sometimes people have weddings where the priest wants to get it over and done with in 20 minutes or something like that. And then you wonder, are they really married or what? But when the wedding goes on for a few days, then you know, they're really married. So anyway, Prabhupada is really here. Prabhupada was already here in his deity form, even before we went through our little program this evening. But particularly what we've done, what we are doing, is that we are requesting Prabhupada specifically to accept worship. Not like we're trying to put him there, he's already there in the deity. But we want him to accept our service of the family members. Okay, very good. So now we'll continue. Prabhupada has been cleaned, dressed, offered food, and now we'll bring him out and we will offer him his first Guru Puja, or first Arati, to him. That's what we'll do right now. And then we will sing Damodar Astakam, and then following that, everyone can have the remnants of the food, the prasadam, that which was offered to Prabhupada just while we were talking here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande. Haribol. Okay, let's